the sound of a bell that isn't there, this time on Culture File, as Tyge O'Sullivan's journey into the mystic continues with the filmmaker and recordist chasing down bells of all sorts, inspired by a small detail in an old guidebook. This is Tyge O'Sullivan's Cloud of Unknowing.
The Shell Guide to Ireland was first published in 1962. A hefty hardback of some 500 pages, the guide is a national directory of sorts, pitched at the curious traveller in the new age of the motor tourist.
In the Emerald Isle, you drive with a smile, nothing but fun on Shell, Shell, Shell.
The Irish edition begins in Abbey, County Galway, and ends in Youghal, County Cork. In between, it has entries for almost every city, town and village in Ireland, north and south. Written by Michael Deignan and Michael Morris, aka Lord Killinin. The focus is on heritage, history and archaeology, with lots of holy wells, cathedrals, church ruins and high crosses, but also beauty spots, boating and fishing. In short, things of interest to the educated gentleman with a tank of Shell petrol and some leisure time on his hands. I always loved the Shell Guide. So when the possibility arose last year of moving to a new corner of the country, one of the first things I did was to look up our prospective home to be. So small and unremarkable as to not warrant its own entry, the small village gets a few paragraphs at the end of the section on a nearby town. A ruined church, a cairn, and, squirreled away between parentheses, mention of a small bell, which we are told is preserved in the British Museum. The British Museum catalogue entry in question shows a small dome in copper alloy, adapted as a bell from a drinking cup and dating from the 12th century. It is not on display. According to the British Museum's website, there are over 1,000 bells preserved, to use Deignan and Morris's term, at the institution. When I think of these bells at the museum, I think of the various roles that bells have played in societies everywhere in the world.
A bell is a prostitute. It yells out whatever you wish. Murder, conspiracy, revolution, and execution.
I think of Peter Brown's remarkable radio documentary,
Glocken in Europa.
A bell is just matter, copper and tin. And that is its undoing. Hermann Göring's intention. Only 10 bells are to be preserved in the whole of Germany.
I think of my own brief career as an altar boy and the strange, powerful feeling of silencing a packed church with a small gesture of my small hand. I think of the Tarkovsky film Andrei Rublev, set in medieval Russia. In the final section, a young boy, Borishka, persuades agents of the Grand Duke that he alone holds his late father's secret to bell making, that he should be taken from his plague-infested village to cast a huge new bell.
Secret, знаю. Отец секрет меди колокольный знал.
What follows is a profound meditation on faith, self-belief, and unknowing, to which a whole series of these essays couldn't do justice. I think of a small love poem by Marina Tsvetaeva.
Your name is five signs. A ball caught in flight. A silver bell in the mouth.
I think of a park outside Sofia, where 1976, the International Year of the Child, was marked by Bulgaria inviting the nations of the world to donate bells, to create a public space of joy and music. The bells at the British Museum too are taken from all over the world. But when I say taken, what I actually mean is taken. The British Museum is home to thousands of artifacts and objects secured from collectors, looters, thieves, middlemen and other agents of the British Empire. In his book, the brutish museums, Professor Dan Hicks argues that rather than being neutral containers displaying the world's heritage for all, institutions such as the British Museum have constructed former British colonies, in the global south especially, as belonging to a timeless past, a past which the museums themselves actively create. The central idea of Hicks's book is encapsulated in what he calls a kind of motto. As the border is to the nation state, so the museum is to empire. In other words, just as the border demarcates space, determining who and what is included and excluded, so the museum demarcates time, what is present and modern, and what is past and gone. Certain museums, Hicks's brutish ones, annihilate time. It strikes me that the humble bell is the opposite of both border and museum in this sense. It is an object that transcends space. Its sound cannot be contained. It unifies time, creating a shared present moment, whether in a small church, a large city, or across a rural landscape. So to place a bell in a museum, tongue-tied, seems particularly wrong. I write to the British Museum, hoping to find out more about our local artifact. I get a very friendly reply within hours, happy to help, wondering what it is I would like to know. I write gratefully that I wish to learn about the bell, its provenance, how it ended up where it is, a general journalistic inquiry. In spite of periodic prompts and reminders, phone calls and texts over the following weeks, I hear nothing more. Perhaps the museum is afraid I will ask for the bell back. They get a lot of people asking for things back lately. The irony is, I really only have one question. I just want to know what it sounds like. Silence.
Tygo Sullivan there with his Cloud of Unknowing, and if you enjoyed that, have a look at the Culture File podcast feed for many more clouds.